What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime. Welcome back to All the Smoke. Jack, day 3, Vegas.
Killing it.
It's been going well. Coming to you live from the Legend Suite inside the Wynn Hotel. Shout out both them for taking care of us.
Yes,
taking
sir.
Care of y'all.
Yep.
But Jack, we got a good one today, man. Our brother, one of my former coaches.
Yep.
Just a great dude and really excited for the opportunity he just has taken. Welcome to the show, Darvin Ham.
Appreciate it, brother.
The real is back.
Always.
We appreciate you. The real is back. Congratulations.
For sure, man.
Obviously, first and foremost, you know, long overdue. 10 years as an assistant coach. When that Laker position became finalized, like, what'd you think?
Man, I was blown away, Matt. It was really a great moment. I was so tired, just... You know, my wife was with me, and we ended up, ironically, staying an extra day in L.A. after our interview because I just like, babe, I don't feel like getting out to bed.
It's a lot.
And what people don't understand, not just that process, is just what we've been through since March 2020. You know, the COVID, going into the bubble, having a quick turnaround after the bubble, winning a championship, having another quick turnaround to try to defend that championship. And then I hit, you know, as soon as we get eliminated by Boston, game 7 on a Sunday, we have our exit meetings on a Monday. I had tested positive for COVID on that Thursday. So at the, you know, never had it throughout the whole process of it, you know, appearing on the scene within society. But, you know, just going through all of that is just like 3 seasons melted into one and, you know, doing several interviews with different teams in between all that time. And, you know, the process is like a team will reach out and say, we want to interview you know, say Chicago, they called it, we want to interview you. That interview may not happen for 2 weeks.
They just put it on at some point.
Yeah, they ask for permission, and then you wait for the date, and then they give you a date, maybe 2 weeks. So that whole 2 weeks, you grinding, trying to get your information together. Not only are you thinking about the team you're working for, but you're also thinking about the team that you're trying to take over. Mm-hmm. So you got to be, you know, really familiar with what's going on there. So it's been a hell of a ride.
How many teams reached out to you? A lot?
The Lakers was my 10th interview.
Nice.
I interviewed with a third of the league.
You were cramming.
So, I mean, and this is not just, you know, in the present. It's just like through the course of me interviewing.
Right.
I've interviewed with a third of the league. And that's the Lakers were number 10. Uh-huh. And rightfully so, you know, Jeannie, Rob, they believed in me. Mm-hmm. And I'm wholeheartedly thrilled and humbled and ready for the task, because that's the first team, you know, via Mike Brown that gave me my start as an assistant coach.
But let's go back there. I mean, that was my second year with the Lakers. We had just, Phil Jackson had just retired. Mike Brown came in, and you were on that staff. What do you remember most about, obviously, beginning kind of your coaching journey, but, you know, rest in peace, our brother Kobe was on that team. We had a really solid team. What do you remember most about that experience?
Man, just being surrounded by great basketball minds, you know, on that staff. Yeah, obviously, Mike Brown, the head coach.
My guy.
Yeah, my MB is the best, bro. You know, when I first came in the league, little sidebar, in 96 as an undrafted rookie playing for Bernie Bickerstaff, Mike Brown was the video coordinator in Denver in 96. So he and I go way, way back. Shout out to Mike.
Yeah.
Salute always. But just being surrounded by great basketball minds, because, Matt, I'm sure you remember, it's like we had Mike, we had Chuck, we had John Cusack, we also had Quinn Snyder.
Yeah,
we had Ettore Messina, Phil Handy. That was his first NBA coaching job. Me and my man Phil came in together. So it was it was a beautiful experience. And then, obviously, you mentioned it earlier, God rest his soul, but getting to Coach Cole after that playing against him for years, you know, his basketball knowledge, his IQ, Powell, you know, all of those guys. Mm-hmm. I remember yourself, Steve Blake, Meta.
Yeah, we had a good team, man.
I remember Meta when he elbowed James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
And he got suspended.
Remember going into the playoffs.
And I had to do the one-on-one workouts, so I was suspended.
Big Jack. Strong.
Yeah, do the one-on-ones.
I did all the one. I'll show you a picture after this over, bro. Big Strong. Me and Meta, we all the one-on-ones.
But D-Ham used to have us do these motherfucking med ball dunk workouts, bro. Them shits were but I tell you, I was bouncy as a motherfucker, though. But, man, them things were a beast. Obviously, being in this L.A. Situation, you know, it's always so much more than basketball. You know, I also work for ESPN, and the Lakers are the top of conversation, whether they're winning, losing. So, you know, obviously kind of preparing for having that thick skin and coming in that, I mean, that's a hot-ass seat, although it's a dream job. It's the Los Angeles Lakers. It's probably the hottest seat in basketball. So how do you kind of mentally wrap your head around about what you know, the firestorm that's about to come?
I mean, in a situation like this one, man, I think it's important, and it's for everybody out there, man, when you take on a new challenge, like, I don't see it as pressure because I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know how solid I am. Mm-hmm. Like I'm universally aligned with God first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Knowing how to show respect and love to people, but also knowing how to take a stance and not being afraid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Important.
So knowing who you
when
are.
When you know who you are, you have all the confidence in the world when you go into a situation of this magnitude.
Right.
I'm thrilled, man. I'm built for it. I'm ready for it. I know, you know, I'm sort of an extroverted personality, but in the way I live my life, I'm really introverted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're gonna find that out about me. You're not gonna see me, you know, at the hot spots and doing all that nonsense. Yeah. You know, I really like the grind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got everything I ever got out of life. I got it out the mud,
straight
and
up.
Washed it off and turned it into a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not leaving me no time soon. Right. It's only gonna leave me when I leave this earth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, LeBron, AD, Russ, your big three is a big three. It took a lot of heat because AD's been unhealthy. And I think, obviously, we all know he's a big key to that. But talk about, to me, individually, getting a chance to play against LeBron. Now, a number of years later, you get an opportunity to coach him. What do you expect from him as a coach? Obviously, he's great, one of the greatest, and he's got a great basketball mind. But what are you coming in looking for from LeBron?
Just the collaboration. Like, I know where he is in his career. He's done everything possible it is to do as an individual basketball player. And, you know, he's conquered everything. But again, we talk about sacrifice. And first thing people think about is sacrificing scoring output or shots or something like that. No, sacrificing making selfless plays. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have the ball pushing it in the break, are you willing to sprint to your spot and open up a lane for your teammate? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to sprint and open up an open shot for your teammate? Are you willing to box out even though you're not going to get that damn rebound? Mm-hmm. But you're putting a body on a body so your man can come in and scoop it up and we can get going with our pace. So that's the thing I'm thinking about. And my hat's off to him. Seeing him when he first came in the league and all the pressure that was put, so-called pressure that was put on him, he's risen to the occasion time and time again. And he is wholeheartedly deserving to be in that GOAT conversation. Absolutely. He's top five that are alive, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'm thrilled to be able to coach him and going to try to learn from him. Going to try to show him what I see and hold everybody accountable because those are three words I stand on and live by. Gotcha. It's going to be even more so with this team. Competitiveness, togetherness, and accountability. Mm-hmm. Same with Russ and AD. Yeah. Like, I'm thrilled to coach Russ.
Yeah.
They try to dump on Russ, but I'm like, that was one of the things that got me excited about this job.
Mm-hmm.
As well as a dog.
Yeah, totally.
He's a dog.
He and I have had a great rapport since I taken over the job, man. Just text messages, phone calls, Dennis, like, I locked in. I cornered his ass outside the elevator over at the Encore. So he and I had a great conversation then. So, you know, we all know what comes along with this business, man. Yeah. People throwing your name in trade rumors.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the league since 96, man. I don't know anybody that's been on any team that hadn't had their name thrown in a trade room or two.
All been traded.
Yeah, all been traded, yeah. Absolutely.
Just
same as a coach.
Right.
You know, they'll be saying they're ready to fire me, and the media will be saying they're ready to fire me in a year and a half.
That's how Westwood's happened with Bud in Milwaukee, and then he fucked around, won the championship, and now.
And I'm standing there right by his side as his lead assistant, watching him navigate that with nothing but grace.
Right.
Like, every round, we down 0-2. Okay, they looking
see you,
at their
bud.
Watch.
Right. See you, bud.
And we conquer that. We conquer this. We get to the conference finals. Atlanta win the first game. Told you it's time for Bud to go and all this. Like, and he's blocking out the noise, but you can't help but hear the noise sometimes.
Right.
You just got to stay solid.
Yeah.
Do what you do. And you will win in the end, man, every time. I witnessed it with him.
Yeah. Anthony Davis, obviously, we all would put it out in the air right now. He's going to be healthy this season.
Absolutely.
With him, I feel like a healthy, motivated Anthony Davis should be in the MVP conversations. What are you expecting from Anthony Davis on really both sides of the ball? Because he's someone that can do it the entire court.
Just to be healthy. And, I mean, because at the end of the day, it all starts and ends there with him. You know what I mean? I'm not quite – his skill set is undeniable. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, when he's healthy like he was in 2020 in that bubble run, like, he's top five in the league.
No
easy.
Question.
Top three. So, he's another one I've had great communication, great rapport with, and I just told him, man, don't get caught up in
the bullshit
headline, man. Take care of your body, bro.
Because
this is not going to work without AD.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, disrespect to Bron, no disrespect to Russ. They're going to be who they are.
Right.
Like, Bron is going to continue to be great. Russ is going to have a much, much better season. But AD, having AD available, especially with the guys we just signed, the young guys, it's going to be invaluable, and he's the centerpiece to that championship table that we're trying to build.
I talked to Matt. I said, I just want to say this. That's why I think I know it's going to work there, because you're going to hold people accountable. You come from that cloth of what we all had. We had to really grind to even get in the league and to make a name for ourselves to stay around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just that attitude and that I have a lot to prove attitude that you always had. That's what they need in that locker room.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it ain't gonna be no just what I'm not playing hard tonight, and ain't nobody gonna say no, bro. You let us down tonight.
Right.
You gonna let them know that. And I think guys, when you held accountable like that, everybody play better and the team plays better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When everybody been held accountable by the top.
Here's the thing though, Jack. Like my approach, and I think this is where a lot of coaches make mistakes, is like they either silly with it or they're abrasive. I'm a straight shooter, bro.
Yeah, always
like
been.
It's business. over everything. Mm-hmm. Like when we step on that floor, step
and
in the buildings.
And to keep it real, you can't whoop me. So keep it real, you can't whoop me. So yeah, I'm just gonna tell you how I feel.
For real, keep it down.
For real, bro. Like I you know, hopefully it don't come to that. But
yeah.
We have to slide in the closet or two and touch something up.
That, the 80s, the 90s. Hey, me and him was fucking around at the game the other day.
It went viral.
Just bullshitting and it went viral talking. We was talking about me.
We was with Gentry.
Yeah, Gentry talking about, Matt, you need to come back, shoot some corner threes. I'm like, nah, I'm not worried about shooting corner threes. I just want to hold people in line. It's like, yeah, Ham's like, yeah, we need someone to slap the shit out. Yeah. That shit went viral, but Bleacher Report ended up taking it down.
They loved it.
But it's just crazy. That's what this, I tell people, and you've already been in it once, there's nothing in the world like being a Laker.
Absolutely.
So you got to be on your P's and Q's at all times because there's always something going on around you.
All time. And it's something I embrace. It's going to allow me to get more rest, more sleep, because I'm not going to be doing nothing
shit,
in the streets.
Right, like,
So except focusing on my team and how we can get better every day and build toward getting back in position, being at the top of the food
chain.
That's
the goal.
That's my whole focus, bro. Mm-hmm. And to put good guys around these players, good coaches that know what they're doing, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for the opportunity.
And I also wanted to say one more thing. I know Jeannie watches this sometimes. Rob watches it.
Yeah.
Y'all need to hire Rasheed, man. Y'all need to hire Rasheed for real. Could really help out that locker room, that veteran experience, the OG experience, and another straight shooter. Yeah. Rasheed Wallace. Got his number if you need it. You
Jeannie's
probably got it, too.
Friend.
He said,
Jeannie's my friend.
Jeannie's your... why you get all buttered up when
that's
I say Jeannie?
She's my friend.
Jack got a crush on Jeannie.
No, she's my friend, dog. That's my homegirl.
Man, talk about a beautiful spirit, bro.
Oh, she's great.
Like,
she's great through all of it, because there's a lot of shit always coming at her, too.
When
she's
sat in her office and we talked one-on-one about what they're looking for, how they want to change and get the culture back to what it was. And
great person.
It motivated the hell out of me.
Great
and Rob. Rob has been great to work with, you know, and again, man, people put out false narratives, this, that, and the third, but at the end of the day, I take people by face value, what I've experienced with them. And it's been nothing but love and respect and good camaraderie since I hit the door.
Dope.
Thanks.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game, dad, bro.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to catch you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Switch gears right quick. Saginaw, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Number real ones come out of there. Kmart, Draymond, Jay Rich. Talk about your upbringing.
I mean, I grew up in Sag, man. East side Saginaw, between Remington and Holland, right on the backside of Genesee, the main strip. Grew up behind a liquor store and a black motorcycle club. Mm. And my block stayed hot. Mm-hmm. My area, you go look it up now, man, it ain't doing too well. And it's just like, it ain't even gentrification going on. It's just like they knocking down houses and just leaving the ground flat, man. There's been so much pillage and violence. And me, being of a certain age, I'll be 49 in another week. Mm-hmm. And coming up during that crack era in the 80s, I saw that.
Yeah.
Like, born in 73, growing up with a strong community and seeing that community turn into a wonderful neighborhood, and then just take the neighbors off and now it's just hood. Mm. Got shot 14 years old, April 5th, 1988.
My birthday.
Yeah, really? April 5th. That's deep. Mm. That's deep. They, It's something that just, when you go through an experience like that, bro, it really stays with you. And the biggest thing for me was just, it was the first hot day in Saginaw. Like, it was like 80-some degrees that day. And then everybody had just coming off recognizing the 20-year anniversary of Martin Luther King being assassinated April 4th, 1968. Mm-hmm. So we out in the streets, mom and them at the house, send me and my older brother, Durrani, out to go get a pizza. And it had to be like 5, 6 in the evening, something like that. So we go get the pizza, but we forgot the soda, so we stopped at this place called Al's Market. And probably leading the league in shootouts at this store.
This
so
store.
We stop at Al's Market, get the soda, get out of there. And next to that, and this all a block away from my house. Mm-hmm. We have a Church's Chicken right there on the corner. Mm. So we turn on to Remington, which is a one-way going this way, going to the west side. Holland was the one-way going to the east side. My block right in the middle. So as we turn, we get in the right, left, far left lane to make the left onto my block. They start clapping. I'm just hearing shots, right? So I turn and look toward the shots, and that's when I got hit. Mm. If I'd have just ducked or tried to lean over, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of y'all right now. The fact that I turned and looked toward the shots, it ricocheted on my jawbone. They took it out the left side of my neck. I was in the hospital for about 11 days. Mm. It was crazy. And then that was one of the hottest summers I remember, because that summer I can remember over 30 people getting shot and probably about a good 10, 11 dying in a city that's the size of Saginaw, which is just, at that point, was probably 150,000, 200,000 people. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. And then the radius, then you break it down even further with the small radius of the east side, and you had north side and south side. We didn't have gangs. Like, they'll call them gangs because of the violent element that's attached to it. We had what I call dope boy cliques. Mm-hmm. Like, people wasn't banging a street or neighborhood to defend that street or neighborhood. They was banging a street or neighborhood because they was getting money on them streets and in that neighborhood. It. They had to protect that.
Right.
So you had more dope boy cliques back then. And you know, there's a bunch of documentaries out on YouTube talking about the YBI in Detroit, BMF, but in Flint, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, I mean, Lansing, it was a lot going on, bro, in them little small cities. Because
I went to a lot of them during the George Floyd time.
Yeah.
Kalamazoo and all those little cities, man. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of those projects. It's one way in, one way out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? A lot of those neighborhoods.
Yes.
What was, I mean, obviously you told us the physical aspect, but was that, I'm sure that mental still to this day sticks with you. How did that change you as a person at 14 years old?
It let me know I wasn't in control. And then when it got darker for me was the following summer. I lost one of my closest road dogs, my brother, my godbrother. We grew up in the church together. And things go for different people how they go in their life. And he was outside off the porch, a little active. And he ended up getting killed that next summer.
Mm-hmm.
My man Shaka Yule. We same age.
Mm-hmm.
And he got hit 8 times with a shotgun.
Damn.
Walking down his block trying to go to the store. I had to be his pallbearer, one of the pallbearers. And when you're 16 years old and you're putting on those white gloves, you sitting in the first time ever, God rest the day of my dad, he died in a car wreck in 92. But that was the first time I seen my dad was brolic, just worked at General Motors, was in the Air Force, just strong dude. It was the first time I ever seen my father cry. And to take that casket, roll that casket out of the church, put it in the hearse, take it off the hearse, put it on the straps to go on the ground, and that's your man. Like, and then you know that just happened to you. Like, it could have been me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just made me want to try everything. It actually made me want to go to the military because I knew that was a direct way out to go see the world. I wanted to get as far as I could away from Saginaw because the violence was kind of getting out of control at that point. And we lost a lot of cats. My man Terrence Marsh, I'm still tight with his sisters, Erica and Adrian, to this day. Like, he got killed over, I think about how it bothers me, bro, like, how we just don't value our life. And just this disconnect between whether it's ageism or whatever, the old ones don't want to talk to the young ones because they just assume they ain't going to listen. And you have so many distractions now via social media, cell phones, and all this other stuff to where they don't want to listen. You know, people seeking new information constantly, but it's the way you control and redirect that information that's being received
delivery,
by these kids.
Your delivery,
man. And we got to step the hell up, man. It's too much. I go back to our neighborhood, bro, and it's just like, it ain't nothing to help. Don't nobody come outside no more. When I was growing up, man, you see girls doing jump rope, we playing football in the field, guys hooping at the park, if somebody cooking, if I out on the porch and doing whatever, you don't see none of that now in these neighborhoods no more. Because now it's just hood.
Yeah.
There's no more neighbors.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no more neighbors. It's just hood. And that's a problem that we need to fix.
Well, I was just thinking about a lot of stuff you were saying, bro, and I just wanted to touch on, like, they actually want us to be afraid of the areas that we come from and not go back and show the people what they could be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a big problem, too.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, where we grow up at, we only know what we see.
Right.
So, and we always see is the drugs and shooting. We see the same things.
Right.
So when we make it out of that, and the trauma of dealing with that, you know, as a youngster, to make it to where you at now, it's nothing that can take you. It's nothing you can't handle now.
Right.
Because you've seen the worst.
Yeah.
So that's why it's imperative that we go back to these areas, bro, to show these kids, hey, I'm from here, but look where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't make me be a worse person or make me just fall in love with everything that's going here and ruin my life.
Right.
I'm the same person. So it's imperative that we go back because their whole goal is to make us hate the areas where we come from, to continue to take over them, take the houses and push everybody out.
Right.
And that's the plan. And a lot of our people that make it are falling for it.
Absolutely, man, because they don't have information, man. The biggest thing, like, it's cool to go back, give away turkeys and give money to different organizations. Like, my wife and I, we have an organization, Urban Youth Development, and we got an official 501c3 license back in 2006. So that Draymond mentioned it on his platform. He came, him coming to my camp. as a little kid. Mm-hmm. We were doing, and still, like, the COVID is kind of throwing it off because we just did one in Milwaukee before all of that hit. We do free basketball-like skill camps. So while I'm doing basketball, my wife's an educator. My wife, Dee, she's an educator, and she has them in the classroom talking about social media responsibility. We have conflict resolution sessions. Mm-hmm. We invite the parents in. You know, they sign off on different topics that we're going to talk about with their kids. Mm. I had a chef come in to teach the kids how to be responsible in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Had a martial arts teacher come in, teach them self-defense, as well as they're doing basketball. Mm-hmm. And that's the camp Draymond went to in Saginaw. I had Jason Richardson, another Saginaw guy, came back, spoke at my camp, and Larry Johnson, shout out to him, Magic's older brother, his mom, they all came out, supported, and all of that. And this, back when I was with the Pistons, mm-hmm. and it continued and carried on. So when we get together, bro, it's not so much about the money and the gifts, it's the time.
Presence.
And
your
sharing
presence,
the information in a proper fashion. Mm-hmm. Being there with an organized team, and you may have to have a team of, you know, grief counselors. You may have mm-hmm. to have a team of how to start your own business online. Like, that's the stuff we need to do. Mm-hmm. Like giving away stuff is cool. I would never downplay that or frown upon that. But it's a higher level we can get to in terms of fixing our neighborhoods and first and foremost, fixing our people. Mm-hmm. So that's the type of time I've been on. That's why I mentioned, you know, Beverly Hills, Malibu. Man, we love everybody that love us, the right. Lakers and black people as a whole, for sure. Me personally, I'm speaking mm-hmm. as an individual man. But I want to tap back into Compton. I want to tap back into Watts, Inglewood, South Central, Hawthorne,
Conversation could change. Carson. Just one conversation could change a lot, bro.
And you come out there with the right support group.
Yeah.
Not the right diversified support group, man, mm-hmm. that will bring healing. Like I said, you just can't have, he sold a million records, so this dude,
he
got 20,000 points. Nah, this person done helped over 100,000 people because he or she is a grief counselor. Mm-hmm. This person has shown 50,000 people how to start their own business, mm-hmm. where you can develop monetary outlets for yourself and the people that's around you. That's what we have to do mm-hmm. in our communities. Imagine. That's what we have to do.
When did hoop come into the mix?
Late. Man, you know, I only played 1 year of high school basketball at Saginaw High, same high school as my man Draymond, mm-hmm. and 1 year junior college, and I was at Texas Tech for 3 years, and then I was in the league.
I remember them Texas Tech days.
Hold on. You play any other sports?
Football.
Football was your first sport?
Football. I had to stop, though. My
grades, man, you look like a motherfucking bully out there. Yeah, boy. Yeah. God, you was probably that size in seventh grade, huh?
Tommy Shepard always tells a story. He's current president of operations for the Wizards. And he was in Denver with Bernie mm-hmm. my rookie year. I had the Cowboys and the Chiefs calling me, man. They came and scouted my games. I actually did a pro day at Texas Tech. Mm. So, yeah.
What position you play?
Tight end. Mm-hmm. But I grew up playing on defense. Mm-hmm. But they wanted me to play tight end.
Yeah, athletic, sick, big, strong. Yeah.
Me and Antonio Gates, I was running him from time to time.
Dope.
Antoni Gonzalez, they wouldn't switch places.
That'd be dope.
Yeah.
I remember them Texas Tech days, because I'm from Port Arthur.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. Texas Tech.
UGK, baby.
Oh, man, I remember the Texas Tech days. y'all had it bumping out there, man.
1 year high school, 1 year JUCO, 3 year Texas Tech, and I'm an undrafted rookie.
In the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere, bro. Lubbock. Dust storms and cow manure. Aroma. Yeah.
That's it.
It's an acquired taste, man.
Yeah. I prefer that Kush aroma, but you can have that.
Yeah, that's in the middle of nowhere,
man.
Yeah. All them schools like that. Blend. All them junior colleges.
Midland, the JUCO, Odessa.
That's the one from the show, from the movie. Odessa.
Yeah, the football team.
Yeah.
How many backboards have you shattered?
Just one. I broke a lot of rims, but just shattered one board.
That was impressive.
At the right time.
Yeah, at the right time in the tournament.
At the right time, man.
Talk about that.
My man Jason Sasser, bro. Shout out to Jay Sass. His nephew Marcus is a hell of a player, plays for the University of Houston. Marcus Sasser is his nephew. My man Jay Martin, our point guard from Inglewood, he hit Jay on
you had Jason
left line.
Martin as your PG?
Yeah, that's dude, that was our PG, bro. I've been knowing Jay for over 30 years.
Yeah, shout out Jay Martin. That's the homie,
Jay went hit Sass in the post, and Vince was guarding me. Antoine was guarding Sass, and Sass threw up a right jump hook. Vince went to go double, and I had a straight line right to the rim, man. Mm-hmm. Just caught the offensive rebound. And then the rest is history, bro.
Break that motherfucker down, too.
And that actually tied the game up. Like, we was going back and forth, and I think that might have made it 16-16. They had my man, who I'm going to see later on tonight, they had Jeff McGinnis, they had Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter, mm-hmm. Serge Wicker, Shamon Williams. That Carolina team was strong. Nice.
Yeah.
Calabria, Dante, you know what I mean? So they had a strong, strong squad. And we had Tony Batty, myself, Saz, J. Mar, Corey Carr, Coy Smith, Janae Cook. We had a pretty tough squad too, but
yeah,
it was one of those things, man. We're going back and forth. When that happened, shit, we had to stop the game 45 minutes. Go wash the ice glass out our back. We had to take showers. And my man Corey came out and went on a three-point barrage.
Mm-hmm.
Corey came out and hit like four straight threes, man, just opened the game up. We ended up winning by 20, 92-73. And they drug tested me feverishly.
Gotta be on something, right?
Something ain't right.
Everything came back clean, kids. I was just on steak, milk, and broccoli.
Yeah,
that was
it.
Milk, and broccoli.
I mean, you've had a chance to play at the highest level and play for a championship, but that NCAA tournament is special, ain't it?
Oh, dude.
That shit is
win
so dope.
Win or go home.
Ooh, that shit is so dope.
It's not like a playoff series, bro. Everything's on one.
There ain't no
game.
Tomorrow.
And you know how basketball is.
Yeah.
Some nights it might not be your night.
Them swings and
do
runs.
Everything right, but them shots don't go in.
Man. Yeah,
it's a whole different ball.
And now
man.
You got Belmont beating Kansas or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's intense.
Yeah. Tell me about when y'all was getting ready to go up against AI in the tournament.
Ah, dude.
Same tournament, right?
We saw, That's who eliminated us.
Yeah.
We saw them.
AI,
we got
AI to Atlanta. 32.
We got to Atlanta. We had to do practice and media. And I saw. They probably, I don't know if they remember this. It's so long ago, man. But I just got done doing a little interview, and I was just walking past these guys. I saw AI walking with Othella Harrington and Jerome Williams. And I'm looking like, dang, bro, these dudes tall as hell. That's some good dunk bait right there.
Good dunk bait.
Couldn't wait.
Some good dunk bait.
But Al, man, that was some of the best college basketball ever that year. Because Ray was in UConn. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had Al. Like, it was a lot of guys around putting in work. And we went and played the game. You're talking about physical. Like, it's like John Thompson, God rest him, had nothing but these Africans, bro. Mm-hmm. And he was coming off three, four at a time off the bench.
Yeah.
And they pressing the whole game. Jahidi White, Boubacar Al, Victor Page. Just Othella, they just hitting you all night. And
Chuck was just cooking.
Jason Martin was guarding. Jay ended up fouling out, but they was putting him on the line.
Yeah,
we couldn't touch him.
Yeah,
we couldn't, no disrespect to AI or nothing. He's one of the greatest. But that particular game,
they
you go back
him.
And look at it, we couldn't touch him. He got all his, basically, damn near all free throws. We did a good job. We just kept fouling.
Yeah.
He kept blowing the whistle. We didn't think we were fouling.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And then it's funny because you look at some of these college scores now, and they're like in the 50s, 40s, and 50s. That game, we lost 98-90 in regulation.
Yeah.
And I mean, so it just showed you the type of talent.
High-paced game.
Down,
it was going.
Down. So after a successful college career, you go undrafted, bounce around your first two seasons, head overseas. How did you stay positive and focused before you really got a chance to find your footing in the NBA?
I just knew the work, man, I was putting in. You know, it's a legendary scout, my man B.J. Johnson, who passed away a couple years back, worked for the Rockets his entire career, used to help work out me. And my roommate, they came out of Texas Tech a year before I did, a guy by the name of Mark Davis, got drafted by Minnesota. But in terms of myself, again, we talked about it earlier, man, like having almost lost my life
right.
in my neighborhood, a block mm-hmm. away from my house, and then seeing what happened to my man, like, I was like, dude, it's going to figure itself out at some point. I just got to keep putting in the work.
Okay.
And I never came into this game feeling like I was owed anything. Like, I wasn't the top sixth grader in the nation and nothing like that. I didn't come through that AAU system.
Right.
We just got out the mud, man. So I knew it was a matter of time. And my aunt, who was a parole officer at the time in Houston, she's since retired. She was living by herself, wasn't married, no kids, had like a 3-bedroom crib. So I would go down to Houston, work out in the summer times at Fondy Rec Center, at Westside Tennis Club where the Rockets was practicing at that time, and playing pickup with Sam Cassell, Robert Horry, Nick Van Exel, all these who's who of basketball. And me and Sam Cassell got real tight and stayed in touch. And so when I got back from Spain, Sam had worked his way into a position with George Karl to where George would let him, like, bring a player in, like, bring a player to summer league, a training
you.
Camp.
I trust you.
Yeah.
Right.
Anybody out there you think we should be, you know, looking at? He mentioned my name. And so shout out to Sam Cassell, man. He allowed me to establish myself and get my footing under George Karl and play summer league in Long Beach. And our team was Jerome Pooh Allen, Skip the Malou, Ray for Austin,
Skip.
Myself, Track the Trailer, and Tim Thomas.
Rest
that was
in
our
peace.
Starting
damn.
Five.
That's yeah, a hell of a summer beats. League team. God damn.
So, and we did well. I did well individually. And, I mean, I went to training camp. There were no more guaranteed contracts left. And, I mean, no more spots. Every day at 15
so
guarantees.
You had to beat somebody out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was this tall white kid, Paul Grant from University of Wisconsin. I think it was Wisconsin he was from. And I had to beat him out. And they owed him, like, I think $2 or $3 more million guaranteed yeah. money. And shout out to George, man. George Karl, he waved him and gave me that spot. And
that's dope. Y'all had a dope team. I mean, Ray Allen, Sam Cassell, yeah. Big Dog. How yeah. nice is Big Dog? Because I don't think he gets enough credit for how just skilled he was.
It's crazy, man. I hope they put his number up in those rafters in the Pfizer Forum at
13.
Some point, bro. Like, he... Yeah, Big Dog, man. He the first one that, man, and you know, again, information, right? And people could put something in your brain that sparks your brain, and they bust through a ceiling that everybody gets to benefit from that point forward. And Dog was the first one talking about 100 million.
Mm.
You remember that when he was coming out?
Not even a question.
What you want, Dog? I want 100 million. And now look where we are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And
pushing up on 300 million.
Hands down, man. You talk about a man that averaged 20 points per game for 10 straight years, bro. His first 10 years in the league. And I still talk to him today. He's down in Atlanta chilling, doing very, very well, going crazy in the weight room, still busting down a couple of tracks or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all live in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I got to get with Big Dog.
I give you his number, man. Yeah. Big Dog in the A, man.
We need Big Dog
well.
On the show. We need you, Big Fella.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, man.
Big Dog was a problem.
Totally. And you know, Ray was cool. And Sam, obviously, that's my brother. All of them, my brothers, man. And that was just a beautiful experience, man. Just even Skip and Michael Redd and Tim Thomas, like them dudes.
That was a young Mike Redd, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good time. Yeah. That was a really
That's
good time.
That's a good
time.
Team, man. That's yeah. a lot of talent.
2001 playoff run in Milwaukee against AI, and they knock you out again. You got to deal with AI again. Talk about that.
I mean, it was crazy, man. But I think it was like a game six.
It was the Eastern six? Finals, right?
I know you like, goddamn,
yeah. But this is a key element in this story. It's like Scott Williams, who had a hell of a playoff run individually for our team. He's another one that was on that team. And he had a flagrant foul, which he didn't get thrown out of the game for, but got suspended for game 7.
Mm.
And, you know, playoffs are about matchups. Like, and that's the thing I think that's always – made me stand out with coaches. Like I'm really about what's best for the team. Cause that year, we played T-Mac and them in the first round, and that's when it was best of five. We ended up beating them 3-1. We played Charlotte, and I didn't play to the end of the last two games really of that series. That first round in 2001. Then we go to Charlotte. They got Mashburn.
That young BD too.
Young BD,
yeah.
Ricky Davis,
Slick
Eddie
Rick.
Robinson,
yeah, high flyers.
Eldon Campbell, Otis Thorpe, DC was on that team. Derek Coleman. I start that series. They need somebody to guard Mash.
Mm-hmm.
And we get up 2-0, boom, boom. We get to Philly. We end up beating Charlotte in 7 games. We get to Philly and they got Tyrone Hill and all these Dikembe. So again, I go to a more reduced role. Scotty and Irv are doing their thing. Sam, Dog missed a shot that really could have sealed the series for us going back to Milwaukee that he's made in his sleep, just short baseline jump.
Mm-hmm.
But again, fast forward, and Philly was playing. They had Eric Snow and Rajah Bell, all these guys, you know, they had a strong team around, built around AI. And once we got to the game seven, Scotty had been suspended. We got word he was suspended. I mm-hmm. started, and me being an energizer bunny, they know I'm going to do boom, boom, boom. It was crazy. I got three straight fouls in a row. Like, we in game seven. I mean, they elbowing, we throwing, they ain't calling nothing. But then three whiff fouls in a row, so I'm out of the game immediately. Here come Jason Caffey, and we try to compete. But by that time, man, it was such a dark cloud just based on Scotty's suspension. And it was totally unfair. And I guess the league thought they did what was best for, you know, what was right at the time. But we felt like we got screwed a little bit mm-hmm. in that situation. But it was crazy. Just for AI. And they limped into that finals against the Lakers, man. Yeah. They were banged up.
Stole game one and then now, blown out the rest of the world. Yeah.
And like, and we, that year, our 2001 team in Milwaukee, we had beaten the top four teams in the West. We had beaten the Lakers twice, San Antonio twice, Utah twice, Sacramento twice. So we felt like if we'd have got to the finals, bro.
That was good.
It's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
So a lot of things are full circle when it's meant to be.
Yep.
You know, you come back and you win a championship. Well, how was that feeling?
Man, extreme. That was even more gratifying than winning one as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing that made Detroit beautiful in 04 was the type of team we had, the camaraderie, the brotherhood amongst all of us. That made that extremely special. But to actually see, you know, you put your wits on a piece of paper and then turn that piece of paper into court, real court activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then working with Coach Bud and the rest of our staff and being a lead assistant, like just and engaging the players. You know, guys get in their feelings about certain things, whether it's a rotation or I don't know, just they may not be playing well for stretches, and you got to go in there and you got to be that mediator because
mm-hmm.
Coach Bud, he's got to worry about the team in its entirety and coaching his star players. And sometimes you got people that star in their role that may not get access to mm-hmm. him as they should, and so they start feeling a certain type of way. So being able to be that guy that stand there in front of Bud sort of as a bulletproof vest, and so he can do his job and help us all and collaborate, it made it that much more special, man. To win one as a coach, bro, it's like everything we hammer out in these coaches' meetings and having the right team, and it was phenomenal, bro. It was way more gratifying. And knowing that I had been there 20 years previous right. in 01, and we came up short in Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals, and then to also know that they hadn't won a championship in 50 years, since 71.
Mm-hmm.
So you got all these blocks of time that you know, just incrementally just making, you know, steps toward reclaiming that ultimate goal, and it was the NBA championship. So it was beautiful. I love the city. The people treat me with you know, hold me in the high regard, treated me like a king, still do to this day. And it's been great. The last 4 years have been great.
I think one thing you touched on that is underestimated and not everyone can do it, and is another reason why I think you're going to have it's going to be a grind, but it's going to be a real grind, is because that communication that you had, the bulletproof vest you said you had to be for Bud, there's not a lot of people, like you said, they'll either sugarcoat the bullshit or they're too, you know what I mean, they're too much. That middle ground and your ability to be able to communicate with players, I think, is a lost art, especially because these kids are a lot different than we were.
Oh, yeah.
Way different. So to be able to understand how to talk to each of them different, to get the best out of them, to get them to be on the same accord, is really a special gift.
Absolutely, man, because, I mean, you can ask Bobby Portis, you can ask Brooke Lopez, you can ask Chris Middleton, you can ask P.J. Tucker, hell, you can ask DeMarcus Cousins. I'm going to shoot straight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot straight, man. Like, I don't know how to do it no other way. And again, it's not going to be silly where I'm trying to sugarcoat what I'm trying to say through comedy or sarcasm or anything like that. And it's not going to be abusive or abrasive where I'm trying to tell you, you know, you ain't shit, you this, that, and the third. Nah, it's going to be a business conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know, built around and based in fact.
Live and direct.
Live and direct. Why you, dang, coach, why you on me? Come on, come sit with me. hit the remote. Let's watch this film.
Shit don't lie. Mm-hmm. Shit don't lie.
Now, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because if you're not, and it's blatantly right there on the film.
We have a bigger problem.
Not yet.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Because now you're delusional.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? It's a difference between being disagreeable, or disagreeing, I should say, and being delusional.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's certain times where you can like, oh, well, coach, I don't know. I don't think. But if it's something that's just blatant, you just turning and walking back on defense, not getting back, or you just letting your man walk right by you, mm-hmm. get off his rebound, put back, stuff like that is just like, come on, fam. And again, just because you disagree doesn't mean you have to be disagreeable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the other thing, man. Communication is key.
Huge, man.
It's everything.
There's a lack of it. Jumping back into your playing career, you get a chance to go home and sign with the Pistons.
Yep.
A part of the Best Five Alive. We had Sheet over here yesterday.
Absolutely.
What was that opportunity like to be able to go home to your hometown and win a championship?
Man, it was great, man. Detroit is like, being from Saginaw, Flint, Detroit, all those cities on the same line as I-75, the highway that goes north and south through that state. A lot of friends and loved ones in Detroit, Flint, Sag. But being able to go back there with the type of team they had at that point, and the history I had with those cats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've known Corliss since junior college. And I was spending some time in Arkansas playing pickup ball with him and Scotty Thurman.
Arkansas,
yes,
sir.
Indeed.
Shit, Corliss. Corliss was a monster.
Big Nasty. And knowing Sheed, you know what I'm saying, since my rookie year. Jeff met Sheed through Jeff McGinnis. That's another funny story.
Mm-hmm.
And then becoming brothers with him as well.
Let's hear the funny story.
Oh, no doubt. So we're in Portland. This is like December 96. And Jeff and I are rookies together. So I hit Jeff like, man, what you got going on? He's like, I'm going to Sheed crib, man. It's family time. They doing a big meal. You want me to stop by? You can come. I said, nah, dude, you better call and ask him. I said, I don't want to just be showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, nah, dude, it's straight. Trust me. So I said, nah, call him. So I think he reached out to him. He said he did, but knowing Jeff, he probably meant it. Jeff, my man, he knew the lay of the land. So we go to Sheed's house, and then we end up leaving there, and me, him, and Jeff jumped. She used to push that Bronco everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He pushed the Bronco, end up at Gary Trent crib. So then I forged a relationship with GT, who I just had dinner with this year in Milwaukee as well. And that's how we met, and we just bonded, bro. Mm-hmm. We got smashed that night.
Yeah.
And they ended up, Sheed had to take us straight to shoot around.
Yeah.
And that's
you rookie. You don't know no better. Come on, man. I'm hanging with Sheed Wallace, Gary Trent.
Come on, man. G Trent crib. He got the big video screen. They playing some game. I'm not big in the video game. Mm-hmm. I think they were playing the NBA game or something, mm-hmm. man. But. Dude, you talking about, and again, to just still be able to vibe and talk and communicate and have just break bread sessions with these guys,
yeah,
man,
from dope.
All the way back then. So knowing Sheed that way, and then again, Ben Wallace, my brother from another mother, he and I were in that same class of being undrafted in 96.
Mm-hmm.
It was me, Ben, Chucky Atkins, Eric Strickland, and Adrian Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Five guys who made them open the day rosters in 96 without being drafted.
And who had long careers.
Yeah, so Ben and I, you know, we met in Washington my second year in the league, you know, with Bernie and still brothers to this day. I still talk to Ben. Ben's still doing great. So knowing Chauncey and Rip and Lindsey Hunter, Lindsey and I played on that 2001 team in Milwaukee together. So it's just all these little different relationships within that environment to go along with being back at home and being at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
So that was great. It was an awesome time.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game,
bro.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How big was Chance? Finals MVP, Mr. Big Shot. Rasheed did nothing but sing his praises on a very, he said, very balanced team, very talented team, yeah. But it was Chance.
When you're doing construction, you have an excavation process, right? Where you have to lay the foundation and make sure that the land is stable. Ooh. Underneath what you're going to build,
right.
That was Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace built that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
With the mentality he had, he was no nonsense, quiet, knew how to have fun outside of the environment, outside of the building. But when he came in that building,
business.
All business.
Mm-hmm.
Chauncey, I would say, was the guy that you put the blueprint together and how the different bedrooms going to look, where the pool going to be at, where the man cave.
Yeah. And
where
he going to put all it together.
Where the she shed, you know what I'm saying? Like, Chauncey is the guy that's going to make that thing really pop. And that's why it all worked. And then you had Rip, it's Tayshaun, and, you know, we can end up getting Sheed in the middle of the season, which I thought Atlanta was crazy, bro. Because when we got Sheed from Atlanta, you was on that team. Al Harrington was on
that. Al wasn't there.
Al wasn't there yet.
Jason Terry
was there. Tayshaun, but I just remember y'all, like, if I said that, when Antoine Walker was with y'all.
No, we had Antoine Walker wasn't there. It was Jason Terry, Alan Henderson.
Okay.
Alan Henderson, Bobby Sewer, Deion Glover, Boris Dial.
Yes.
We had all, it was
and
all.
And she, I'm like, if they'd have gave that a chance.
Yeah.
Like, she, man, it was like that. Y'all got there. It was like a wholesale.
Yeah, it was cool.
And I'm like, they actually got a good team. But I guess Alan and Antoine them came that next year or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like getting Sheed when we got him, everybody just thinking it's not going to work because he was so misunderstood. And you ask anybody ever played with Sheed?
Love him.
Coach Sheed, been around Sheed, top shelf human being, man.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Top shelf human being, man.
Best.
Like, for real, straight up. So he came in, and I was kind of the conduit because he really didn't know nobody on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew him from all those years, and we had remained in contact.
Y'all was good.
And so, boom, I said, dude. He said, Burke, what's up with Ben? I said, dude, you gonna love that dude. Y'all just alike. Y'all personality's a little different, but y'all really just alike.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, we all hit it, man. Connected like Voltron, man. It was a beautiful experience.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
0-4 finals with the Lakers. What do you remember about playing Kobe and Shaq?
They was beefing.
Mm.
That's what I remember.
Like, they was
like
beefing.
It was not on a personal tip per se. But I wasn't there every day with them, but you could see on the court.
Well, the energy wasn't right.
The energy wasn't right. And I mean, we were just geeked. And I know she was ready to kill Karl Malone. And you know, Carl's one of the greats, but she was ready to make his. He had an opportunity to make his mark.
Tubby.
And GP, shout out to my fellow Leo. GP came and it just, their mix and then them trying to play the triangle, like it was just, something just seemed a little bit off with that squad. We just went out there and like, we're going to lock their ass up and do what we need to do. And that's what happened. But I just remember that team, the energy around that team in particular being, you know, between Shaq and Kobe on the court, it just didn't seem right.
Mm.
Something was a little bit off. Like, one of them had a ball, the other one ain't looking right. And
one of them, yeah.
They're not just going that, and when you got the ball, and then he ain't going as hard. Like somebody blow by you, and he ain't going to come block the shot. Or if you block the shot, I'm not going to V-back box out and get the rebound.
You can see that.
Like, you can see, if you know basketball and you know what you're watching, you pick up on stuff like that quick.
Mm,
yeah.
Tough. And they didn't have an answer for Chauncey.
At all. Yeah, it was different.
I've experienced it. Matt experienced it. What was your experience and the feeling you had when that buzzer sounded, knowing you're the NBA champion? You're the best in the world.
It's the best feeling in the world.
I'm telling you.
It's the best feeling in the world, bro. It's just like you locked together in history, on the right side of history for all time, bro. Like, I had a saying, you know, everybody gets to make money. Very few get to make history.
Mm-hmm.
You get to make history, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's like long after we gone, they're gonna be talking about those teams we all were a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're gonna have a moment in time. And whether it's coming back 15, 20, 25, 30, if you're blessed to be around that long years later, I mean, that's when you really feel it. And you go back, you look at those old reels and all those just memories, man. Memories that's just sketched in the time, man. That's not going anywhere.
Forever. You decided to hang it up in 2005. When did you know it was time?
Hell, when I started sounding like a bowl of Rice Krispies when I got out of bed in the morning.
Real snap, crackle, pop.
Man, bro. Like, I knew 05. I'm like, dude, I gotta chill. Like, I had 7 surgeries throughout my career, bro. Like, broke my nose twice, broke both hands, scopes on my knees, broke my foot. shit, after I was done as a coach, I tore my Achilles playing pickup with my son.
So did he cross you up?
No. I actually went up to block a shot, Jack. I was being classic Darvin Ham. Being classic Darvin Ham.
Out your way, though.
I got a little petty, though.
Yeah.
So this little dude, we was playing at the YMCA in Buckhead, man, in Atlanta, right there off Moore's Mill. Mm-hmm. And dude picked my son, and it was like a tie ball game for game. And I sprinted down there, went up, and blocked the shot, tore my Achilles. Bro.
You blocked it, though.
I blocked it.
Good job. He blocked it, though.
They had to roll me away, but
yeah, they blocked that motherfucker, though.
I got my last highlight. Yeah, it was so fitty. It was a defensive highlight. It was fitty.
And you had your son back.
Yeah. So he going to tell me, Dad, shake it off, man. You good. Shake it off. I'm like, what is the torn Achilles?
Yeah, shit is gone.
I knew immediately.
Favorite part of retirement, but the hardest part about just kind of walking away from the game as a player?
I think the favorite part of it is just that, you know, people understand the preparation that goes into trying to, you know, prepare for an NBA season, man. The work you got to put into your body, the constant training, it'll wear on you, man. It grinds your body down, man. And then you talk about the actual activity physically of engaging other bodies on the court, getting hit, all those hits over time, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, football is not to the degree of football, but I think basketball is the hardest sport because it's physical and it's fast.
And we ain't got no pads on.
And no pads. And so, and you're leaving the ground, like, mm-hmm. repeatedly.
Right.
You're jumping, you're running, you slide.
Hitting the hardwood,
diving on the floor. So it's one of those things where it's just like, man, dude, like, that felt good to not have to go through that. But the thing is, you just missed the level of competition.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what got me back in, like, wanting to coach and do all of that, because you miss that hunger. You miss being a part of something. Like, I'm a part of this situation, and we about to go show that other situation why they ain't on our level.
Right.
And that's the whole spirit of competing, and that's the thing that you miss.
Fatherhood. You got two children. What's the best part of fatherhood for you?
Man, it's all three boys.
All three.
Donovan and Dominic. Like, you, the best part of it is really just seeing them, little maturations.
What's the age of?
30, 25, 22.
You got grown-ups.
I got three grandbabies.
You a grandfather.
Yeah.
Papa.
Big daddy.
Big daddy.
Yeah. So it's one of those things, man, where it's just like, it's real, bro. Like, it's really real. You see yourself in these guys and the information you've given them. Like, my oldest, he's out here working summer league with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And my middle, Don, he just got hired into the Bucks. He worked in the G League with the Wisconsin Herd the last couple of years.
Love it.
And now the Bucks just hired him into their video room. My youngest has 2 years of eligibility left at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. So he's going to be playing D1 basketball.
He's right down the street from his brother.
Yes. And so it's just a blessing, man. My wife, Dee, and, you know, we've been together. We met at Texas Tech, been together all these years, bro. Mm. It's just...
Shout out to her.
She's the rock. She's the foundation that really
That's real.
Is the crazy glue of everything. Through ups, downs, good, bad, indifferent. She's been a real one. She's been a real one. That's my ride or die, my life partner.
Love it.
Man, to be able to see your kids become adults and become productive, and, like, that's the best feeling in the world. Man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All your hard work, you know what I mean? Like, to see your kids grow and to be productive and to do something good, like, that's really all you work for.
Absolutely.
Because anything could happen when they walk out the house any day. Anything could happen to us any day. But to see that you've done right and protected them and gave them the right tools to be successful and to see adulthood, that's really what we work for, bro.
It's balancing what you're telling them from a spiritual standpoint and a discipline standpoint with what they're receiving out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that world's voice to be bigger than yours, bigger or louder or more impactful on them than yours.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You have to give them, like, again, a good foundation. I had great parents. My mother, Mrs. Ham, Max Z, now she just got remarried years back. But my father, Howard Ham, my mother, Wilma Ham, man, they raised my older brother, Durrani, my younger sister, DeToya, in the best fashion, in the middle. Like, we weren't in the projects, but we weren't upper middle class either. Mm-hmm. My dad worked at General Motors. My mom was a school teacher. and we were in church all the time, but that neighborhood, so when the neighborhood got out of control,
right in the middle of it, yeah.
When the neighborhood got out of control, we already had the equipment to kind of seal that stuff off. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, again, getting off my porch and walking a block,
yeah,
anything could happen, as it did to me, getting shot. So it's real, man. But again, your kids, man, what you're putting into your children, you got to be able to equip them. It's not you teaching them how to do something just so they won't get on your nerves. You have to teach them stuff that's going to stay with them and that's going to equip them to withstand everything that they're going to go through
that's
once
coming.
They leave your house.
Yep,
once they leave your building, your home,
yep.
That's when your teaching is going to come into effect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not just them being quiet and doing chores and making sure they ain't too loud and all of that. No, when they hit that door, whatever you done taught them, it's got to ring true then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Man, this has been a great interview. We're going to finish up with quick hitters. But before we finish up with quick hitters, that's your solo cam right there.
For sure.
What should Laker fans expect from your Laker team this upcoming season?
Competing at a high level. Again, we're going to be together. The most together team always does well, always wins at the end of the day. And accountability. And we're going to be tough. We're going to be defensive-minded. That's the side of the ball where you're going to see the quickest and most drastic improvement, and we're going to share offensively. And again, we want everybody all in on what we're doing. Like, we don't want anybody that is second-guessing, you know, being a Laker, or is it, am I in the right place, or this, that, and the third. If the season started today, I'm totally comfortable with the roster I have. I love the individuals that I'm going to get to coach. I think we're putting together a beautiful staff. And every day we're going to work to get better. So we're going to make sure we put a product out there that you guys can enjoy and be proud of.
And hire Sheed.
All right, go ahead,
Sheed is definitely on the list. Sheed is definitely on. I got two more spots I got to fill. And so we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Five dinner guests dead or alive?
Five dinner guests dead or alive? Man, I have to say Muhammad Ali.
Ooh.
Bruce Lee.
Mm, that's the first.
Pam Grier. Young Pam Grier.
That's about to say. From here.
Foxy Brown.
Yeah.
Man, who's the last two, DM? I would love to talk to Tupac.
Solid.
I would love to talk to Pac, man.
Solid.
And I think the fifth one, what's the kid that made Twitter?
Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Facebook.
Oh, that's Facebook.
Facebook. No. Facebook. Is it Mark
Zuckerberg?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I would love to have him at dinner and ask him, was it all really worth it? Was it all really worth it?
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask Muhammad Ali about what he went through when they took his title.
Mm-hmm.
How was those 2, 3, 4 years where you couldn't compete at what you loved?
Mm.
Bruce Lee, like, your discipline. Like, Foxy Brown, how was it being a beautiful black woman being reduced kind of to blaxploitation movies and not really getting your chance at that high, high level? And Tupac, again, how does it feel for you to start one way and do a 180 and now what you're spewing on these records actually ultimately end up costing you your own life?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a reason why I have these people
That's
at
deep.
The table.
I love it. What makes Giannis different?
His hunger, man. You look at his story, man. He and his brother Thanas, his family, what they've gone through, bro. He just, that's with him forever. And he's a tireless worker. He's built, like, the tools he has just physically, his length, his size, his athleticism, his balance, his ability to recover. Like, he hyperextended his knee.
Yeah.
And we thought, damn.
It's over.
We seen our whole trophy go before our eyes.
He can't pop.
And he came back.
That tripped me out. Plastic,
he came back. When you look at that in slow motion and
nasty.
See what his knee did.
Mm-mm,
like,
mm-mm.
But again, that's a testament to him, the work he puts in on his body, him constantly working on his game. That jump shot is going to continue to go in and go in at a higher clip
mm-hmm.
as he gets older. And the type of person he is, man, he's the most humble, elite player I've ever been around in my life.
No.
Like, he's humble. He has fun on social media. He uses it like that. But nothing like He don't dump on nobody else. He don't hate on nobody else. You know what I'm saying? He's respectful and thankful for everything he gets, and he works his tail off, man, every day, every single day.
Nobody plays harder than him.
Nah.
Nobody.
Nah.
Animal. What album can you listen to with no skips?
Album with no skips. There's a couple of them. Illmatic.
2 days in a row.
Tupac, Me Against the World. Biggie, Ready to Die. The Chronic with Dr. Dre.
Of course.
Ninjas for Life. N.W.A. I start dating myself now. Yes, and then my favorite, my go-to, bro, Eric B. and Rakim. Paid in full, bro.
Come on, man.
I feel like everybody talking about what was the best era of hip-hop, right? And I go by albums, I think from, no disrespect to anybody before or after, but I think from when Paid in Full dropped, it's 88, the same year I got shot, all the way up to when Big released Life After Death.
96-ish?
It's 97. 97? Yeah, 97. I started first hearing Paid in Full in 87.
Mm-hmm.
So from Paid in Full to...
I was 10. Yeah, I was 10. I was on it.
Now that was a hell of a run in rap.
Oh, dude, everything in between, N.W.A., Wu-Tang, Spice One.
I jumped off the porch early.
But then the R&B was just as dope, though.
The R&B, bro. What happened to R&B?
Man. I don't know, but it damn sure wasn't on that Versus.
No.
With Omarion and them boys. That was not it.
He's stupid.
First thing you do in the morning, last thing you do at night.
First thing I do in the morning, I thank God, man.
Mm.
I thank God. Man, it's hard for me to have a bad day.
When you start off like that?
As soon as I open my eyes and take that breath, I say, I made it. They ass in trouble again.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, they got to deal with me again.
I made it. And the last thing I do at night, man, is probably, I may watch a documentary on YouTube, hang out with the wife, kick back with her, fall asleep talking to her or something.
Mm-hmm.
I make it a point after I wake up, before I get ready to leave the house, give her a kiss, tell her I love her, have a great day. And then at nighttime, just kind of doze off, man. I'm a big cigar aficionado. I like smoking my Churchills, my Monte Cristos. So, yeah, man, it's just an easy life. I'm blessed, totally blessed. But then, you know, you don't bring nothing on yourself that you're not going to be able to handle.
Yeah.
So I just stay low-key, stay out the way, man, and make sure my people are good.
That's it.
You plus four in y'all prime on the basket, on the blacktop.
Ooh, on the blacktop.
So you might have to fight. You might have to do some other shit.
Definitely Sam Cassell. Definitely she.
Mm-hmm. Gonna be some shit talking.
Oh my God. In the best way. You said on the blacktop though. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that.
Way different.
Nah, they don't.
Way different.
The hardwood is different from the blacktop. Mm-hmm. Blacktop is with a real.
Yeah, ain't no metal detectors out there.
Nah, God rest the dead. God rest the dead. Give me my man Anthony Mason.
Mm. So more talk.
Good call.
So Sam, me, she, Anthony Mason, and then
got three bullies.
I'm going Mario Ellie. Shout out to Rio.
Mario Ellie. Yeah, I like that.
That's my guy.
We gonna win games and beat your ass.
That's my guy. Rio, my guy.
Hey, however you want it. One message on a billboard for the world to see. Word, message.
Wow. That's another good one. Y'all deep, man.
You've been dropping gems all interview. So all right, just throw one of them on the billboard.
I would say this, man. Don't ever think you any greater or any lesser than anyone because we're all human beings first. You're no greater or no lesser than anyone because we're all human beings first. And irregardless of all the political madness, the only thing that separates us is our gender. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's our gender. Difference. That's the only thing that separates us, man. Everyone has two ears, one nose, one mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it, bro. So remember, you're a human being first.
Right.
Through it all. So have compassion, have respect, show love. Because what you put in the universe
don't come back
to you.
You better believe it.
Either hug you or slap you in the face. Yeah. So God bless y'all, man. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the time, fellas.
Yeah.
If you could see one guest from the Lakers on All the Smoke, who would it be? But you see, you have to help them, help us, you know, get them on the show.
For sure. Jeannie.
The Lakers in there.
We already had Jeannie.
Yeah, Jeannie on.
She was dope. That's why Jack got a crush on her.
That's my girl.
Man.
That's the homie.
No, I don't have to be from the Lakers.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I know from the team. You see what I'm trying to do? You see what I'm trying to do?
I know what you're trying to do.
No, we haven't.
We haven't.
Bronny.
That's crazy, D-Ham. You might be able to make that motherfucker.
He told me plenty of times he wanted to come on the show. But we
get Brian on here, man.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, put it in his ear.
We get Brian on here, man.
Yeah,
here
we
first.
Need the Kang on here, man.
Y'all got to excuse me, because I don't be watching a lot.
Yeah, it's all good. But we ain't had none of your big three.
Really? Not even Russ?
No, I've been working on...
And they all said they would.
I work out with Ray Westbrook. Ray, you owe me your brother, motherfucker. Let's go. You've been talking about it for a minute. But no, that'd be dope. Any of them, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Right. D. Kang. A-N-G.
You know, one thing about D-Ham, too, is he's a man of his word. So y'all fans, y'all expect him.
We're going to make it happen, man. Y'all been to the shop?
We
waiting on
Come on,
invite.
It's easy. Yeah, we here. We ready.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, Tanisha, thank you very much. My long-time homie.
She took care of me for a couple months before I got traded.
I had it with the Clippers. She's with the Lakers now, one of the best in the business. Thank you for making this happen. Man. Jack. You got a gift, but before we give you the gift, man, we just really wanted to, man, congratulations, man. It's
Appreciate
been a beautiful
it,
you paid
real.
Your dues
Appreciate
10 years.
It,
you've learned from a lot of greats. And the second, I think we might even talked about it on our show, the second you were hired, I'm like, this is not going to be easy, but this is exactly what they need.
I appreciate that, and man. We're confident. But you know, man, like every time I see you guys, you two specifically, it's always love, man. Mm-hmm. Like we keep it real. Yep. No matter, ain't going to be a whole bunch of false Mm-mm. narratives
we
or
all
false,
similar.
Just fake.
We similar.
Fake talking like a lot of these people do.
Yep. Straight shoot.
We real live, locked in with one another.
And we really support each other in a real way. You know what I'm saying? Yep. When the real one make it, feel like we made it. So
absolutely.
You being a coach, feel like we coaching. So I'm just happy you're in that position, bro.
Hey, man, y'all anytime you need me, bro.
Oh, yeah, we're going to check back in during the season because it's going to be a roller coaster.
Just show that love, man.
Man, we got a special
you too,
collab.
Bro.
You got one of the shirts on, but Legends and All the Smoke. We appreciate you, man. Man, thank you again. Darvin Ham, the new head coach of Los Angeles Lakers. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball, YouTube, and the iHeart platform, Black Effects.
Absolutely.
See y'all next week.
Man. Thanks for having me.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.